Hi, and welcome to show number 11 of the El Capitico Travel Guides, a podcast where people share travel stories and adventures. My name is Tony Lloyd, and I'm your host. Each week, I sit down with individuals from all walks of life. Who are they? Where are they from? How did they make the decision to come out onto the road? And most importantly, how are they doing it? I sit down with Peter, a Canadian scientist who's come on an ayahuasca journey here in Ecuador. So please get yourself a cup of tea, coffee, or the beverage of your choice, and enjoy today's show.
My name is Peter McFarland. I'm a yogi, a scientist, and a musician.
Wow, that's pretty a pretty big mouthful, Peter. So I'm gonna start off with having you explain a little bit about your background. As you just said, you're a scientist, a yogi, and a musician. So if you could just sort of explain a little bit about that, which one you started first, second, and third.
Yeah, definitely.
And then after that, we're going to go into why you're here in Cuenca, Ecuador.
So it was science first. That has been with me pretty much my whole life. Especially like the elementary school science is how I picture it in my mind when I get excited about it. Just showing kids things that we can explain, but are also amazing. So I was really inspired by that, and then really interested when I went on to astrophysics in university, and also loved that. And actually, so I studied the music in my second year of university, taking it more seriously. I'd been playing piano a bit and stuff before that, and I met some amazing people and joined an amazing band.
Okay, what sort of music are you playing in your band?
Soft indie folk rock. It's just been an incredible journey with them. And then the yoga started shortly after that, found a school that I really connected with and got really into my practice.
You're allowed to give them a shout out if you want to say the name of the
school. Sure, yeah. Set the School of Yoga in Edmonton, Alberta. Ramin Peiro is an amazing person. Thank you for being my teacher. Yeah, and then all three of them, now that they're all here, are kind of blending together and creating something new, I guess.
Okay. So what brings you to Ecuador? What is it? What was your reason?
So 5 years ago, I was listening to a podcast with comedian Pete Holmes, and they talk a lot about mushrooms and some other drugs like that. And then one episode, I heard about ayahuasca, and I didn't know why I was interested in it. The way she was explaining it was so frightening and like uncertain. You puke every time, it's awesome. It was so weird listening about it and not knowing why I was interested, but I was. But anyway, it wasn't time yet, so maybe 8 months ago, it felt like the right time for me. So I started thinking about when I might come here and how long and all that kind of stuff, and now here I am.
Okay, well, I'm gonna do something. I'm gonna bring us back for 1 second.
Okay.
And I would like you to give a description of what is ayahuasca. Like,
okay.
So how would you best define,
sure,
to Johnny in Alberta, what is ayahuasca?
So ayahuasca is a plant medicine that's used in Latin America ceremonially and for lots of healing. And it doesn't work like most medicine, definitely. But the way ayahuasca works is it listens to you and it understands what you're trying to heal, and it works with you in a really personal way to help guide you towards that healing. It's really empowering compared to maybe the traditional, the opposite of traditional, the newer kinds of medicine that people are really used to. It takes away that power because you feel like you're being fixed by the chemical, but this chemicals in ayahuasca, they have an intelligence and they make you part of the process so that you can feel in control of what's happening.
Okay. And from what I understand, the ayahuasca is that when we say chemical, we're talking about their natural roots,
yeah,
and natural substance that they find here in the Amazon jungle in Ecuador.
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So the same chemical occurs naturally in our brain and in most living things. It's actually, so ayahuasca is the name of the tea that you,
mm-hmm,
drink, and also the vine. That's part of it, and capivine has a monoaminase inhibitor, I think it is. And what that does is prevents your brain from filtering out the DMT, which is good because that's how you have the longer experience because it's possible. So DMT is the other molecule, dimethyltryptamine, and that's the one that occurs in our brain. And so the reason we aren't tripping all the time is because we have the MOAIs, the inhibitors. So the vine has that, and then usually Shifruna, it's a leaf, is what's used in the brew, and that has the DMT.
Okay. So what we're going to do is we're going to try to keep it not too scientific. So we're going to just basically keep some of the concepts, and then we'll talk a little bit about it. So how did you find out? Okay, you said you were listening to a podcast and they mentioned ayahuasca. And then how did you find out that you could come to just outside of Cuenca, Ecuador?
Just research online through arrowid.org. Is a really amazing site. They have lists of effects and legalities of lots of different stuff. Arrowid, EOR, EOR-WID.
Okay.
Yeah, so I was reading on there that it was legal, and then I guess I must have researched that and found there's another site that everyone should use, Aya Advisors. It's like TripAdvisor, but just for ayahuasca retreat centers. And that's really important because some of them aren't so helpful as others.
Okay. We keep having this buzz in the background that you're hearing. It's our doorbell from the hostel. We'll continue going.
Yeah, so I was on the iAdvisors and I found an amazing place called Gaia Sagrada.
Just about 40 minutes outside of Cuenca, Ecuador, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So reading the reviews, just reading about that center, and I felt like it was the right one for me. And made it really easy to, they have scheduled 10 to 12 day retreats that you can do. Or sorry, 5, 7, or 12. They have a set schedule, so it makes it really convenient.
Once we find them online, what sort of conversation was going on?
They had this kind of small application talking about myself and my purpose with the medicine and with coming to the center. And then after that, I didn't have many questions, honestly. I just wanted to go and experience it for myself, and exactly what I did, and they made it comfortable and amazing the whole time.
Okay, friends and family, what were they saying? Because for regular travelers that are just traveling and just come in to see the mountains and the churches of Cuenca and the different parts of the city and the country of Ecuador, people are worried. But then you say, I'm going to South America to literally trip.
I think people can probably tell by now that I'm a pretty weird person. So everyone who knows me and has known me for a long time just understands when I do weird things. But I do understand the fear, and I did get a bit of that as well. I told my dad first, and he's a really supportive person, and he said, whatever you want to do with your life, I'm happy about it as long as you're happy. And that's why I told
him. Thank you, Dad.
Thank you, Dad. That's why I told him first. And that was even before I had planned the trip a few years ago. Other people, I think it's just about the language you use that makes it sound not scary, because when you talk about ayahuasca, you can make it sound really scary, but you can make it sound really welcoming too, and really safe. And same for South America, I think. I know that there's crime everywhere around the world. It's unavoidable.
What were some of the three things they told you to do?
They told me to write a lot, which I have been. I love journaling, and it's essential to me anyways for understanding the experiences I've had with traveling and with ayahuasca. And then besides that, the diet, you want really low fatty foods and oils and stuff, really low salt, really low sugar. Ideally, if you can do it, the best diet would just be legumes, lentils, rice, quinoa, like greens, fruits and vegetables, no drugs and alcohol. There's especially some pharmaceuticals, antidepressants, and a couple other things that interfere really poorly with ayahuasca. So they made sure everyone knew that kind of stuff ahead of time, and they were on these things to stop. And so, yeah, I went in feeling the cleanest I've ever felt.
Okay, get there. If you could just give us a little bit of imagery of what the place looks like a little bit.
Yeah, they have pretty much the same options as a hostel. They have some dorms, some single rooms, some double rooms, and then it was all separate buildings, kind of on the side of a mountain area, like perfectly in nature, nothing else going on. There was two farms on either side, the other two properties, cows roaming around.
Okay. You imagine some sort of a beautiful Andean view.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Wow.
Yeah, and they had a really awesome kitchen filled with work exchangers who were making food when I got there, so I got food right away. It was really, really tasty food, but within the proper diet, and it was really amazing what they made there. And we had a fire that night and met the owner of the retreat, Christine, and yeah, got really well welcomed.
Okay, so here's a part that I think people have been waiting to hear. Let's talk about it. The actual here comes the moment. So tell us about this moment when you actually do it.
So the ceremony is at Gaia. There's about 30 people in a circle around a fire, and they do an opening ceremony. They bless everything they have with them, their instruments, the ayahuasca, different plants to help throughout the ceremony. Mm-hmm. So they blessed it all, and they made prayers to the fire, and they thank the opportunity to have the experience we're about to have. And so that all set the tone really, really well. And we also fasted throughout the day, so that kind of just like gave a sense of having lots of space to welcome something in. And that's kind of what happened for me, was I was welcoming a spirit into me as I took my drink. So then what happens after that?
What does it taste like?
Very bitter, very, very bitter, but you get used to it.
Walk us through what is happening.
For me, it was a really slow process of I started sitting, feeling really focused, paying attention to kind of falling back into a bit of a sleep, although you don't fall asleep, but just slowly leaning back and then lying down and then closing my eyes. And at this point, it's going to be different for everyone.
Oh, yeah,
This is when it starts getting really personal. Like you share the ceremony, you share the flight and all of that, but this is when it becomes your trip, your journey.
Okay.
My first one was really hard, but I just kept having awful memories flooding back into my mind and regret and feeling like I had given people pain and that I wanted to take it back, but I just didn't know what to do with all this pain. So that was really difficult, and I didn't purge for a long time. It was almost 3 hours, and like everyone else in the room around me had been purging. But yeah, it took me a long time to have my first purge, and that was because I was keeping it all in. Like all the bad feelings that I was having in those first hours, I was keeping within me, and then finally they were allowed to just come out. And that's one of the main ways the medicine works is allowing this stuff, or sometimes forcing this stuff, to come out of you, so that you can let go of it.
Okay, so you finally purge, and then how long is this process? Like, how long are you in this state of, what would you call it?
A dream is a good word. Okay. Not everyone sees visuals or travels to other worlds and stuff like that, but most people have at least some images or some memories or, yeah, a dream is a good word.
Okay.
So the ceremony goes for 7 hours, and they serve multiple rounds.
So you're basically in this dream for 7 hours.
Yeah, I mean, you can come out of it, and you will come out of it after some time. And then, so after like 3 hours, they gave another round of ayahuasca if you wanted it. Mm-hmm. And then it kind of comes back on a bit. And then for me, at the end of the ceremony, I was always awake, just watching the fire, listening to the music and stuff. Mm-hmm. So dreaming lasts maybe
like day. What does the next hour feel like after that?
Very tired at the end. It goes 7-8 at night until 3 in the morning, kind of thing. So, and you haven't eaten since lunch, and you just had a big experience. So very, very tired. But also, for me, I wanted to write a lot, because I, throughout the dream, I had received so much information and learned so much that I wanted to get
that on paper. Okay. Did you find some of the answers you were looking for?
Finding, I guess. It's the process doesn't end when the retreat ends by any means. It almost really starts once the retreat's over. What ayahuasca does best, I think, is create space. It, like I said, I eliminated a lot of bad feelings, and once those are gone, there's so much mental energy, so much emotional energy to kind of be able to redistribute to different things. And I guess where you decide to realign yourself to is going to determine how much you learned, how much you gained from the experience. So I feel like I have lots of space and lots of inspiration. I feel like I'm on a good path to fill that out, but so we'll have to see.
Okay. So how many days were you there altogether at the retreat?
12 days.
12 days.
Yeah.
Give us a summary of what. Okay, we just talked about the first day. We talked about your first ayahuasca experience. What were you doing for the other 12 days?
Yeah. So it's one day off, one day medicine, and they had ayahuasca as well as San Pedro there, which is another really great medicine.
Could you explain to us also?
So San Pedro is a cactus. It has mescaline in it, and mescaline it interacts with your brain to help you think in different ways. And so it's also something you drink. It's like a tea with the cactus.
What's the difference between ayahuasca and San Pedro? Like, and why would you combine them?
So San Pedro, the way the ceremony works is early in the morning, 8 a.m. is when the ceremony starts. And whereas ayahuasca, you just lay back and you have your own dream. San Pedro, you share with everyone around you. It allows you to talk really openly, to be really honest with other people and with yourself. Mm-hmm. And so our ceremony, we took turns sitting in front of the shaman, talking about our purpose there. And it helps in the same way because kind of the information you receive from the ayahuasca, you can then talk about it and interpret it a bit easier with the San Pedro.
Okay. And when you said you're talking to the shaman speaks English, or do you have a translator, or is this something that you talk mentally to and he understands? Give us a little bit on that.
The shaman I had here in Cuenca spoke English. Lots of them don't though, but most of those will have a translator as well, because it is important to share some things between the shaman and the drinker. Through that process of talking, you can just build on that strength of the support that you have with the people around you. Now they understand what kind of healing you're doing, and that gives everyone strength to further their own healing and further and supporting everyone else's. It keeps fuel on the fire of what's happening. In the sweat lodge, we had both medicines in there, actually, at the same time. So that was a really interesting experience. I don't want to talk about that one too much. It's something you have to experience if you want to.
Very personal. Okay, that's totally fine.
Yeah.
So now you finished the 12 days. What does it feel like? Correct me if I'm wrong, if I'm going down the wrong road, but I imagine I'm at this retreat, and I've done all these things. I've connected with all these people, and then now I have to go back into the real world.
Yeah, and it's not like if you met other people for 12 days, it feels like so much longer because of everything that has been happening. It felt like years that I had been with these people. But obviously that's not true, and part of I've known you for so long, I mean, like emotionally, that I'm okay that we're separating, but also I just met you and I want to keep hanging out with you.
Okay.
So yeah, it's a lot of mixed feelings.
I'm imagining that there are people from different countries, the different nationalities, but like how many different nationalities were with you?
10, 12 maybe, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
They put you back on the minivan and you're on your way back to the city. What were some of the feelings that were going through your mind as you're heading back into the quote-unquote the real world?
Well, it's not like you just get separated from everyone right away, so we all kept hanging out for a bit in Cuenca, and it felt like we were all bringing some of the magic from there back out with us and sharing it with people. So a really exciting feeling, and just making plans for that.
And then after that, each person started got to drift in off to their own direction.
Yeah.
What's next?
I've been here a week and I'm flying back 3 days, so.
Okay, and what are some of the anticipations you have for home?
So this last week at Cafe Cito, I've just been relaxing a lot on the patio, which has been great, doing lots of writing, preparing myself for integrating back. And yeah, I'm going to spend lots of time with family first, and then time in my hometown, hopefully reconnecting with some people that I haven't seen in a while or I've been in contact with, but just not a strong connection. I want to make so many of those connections with all the people in my life. That's what I want to be doing right now.
Okay.
That's kind of like the first thing. And then once I have that set up and I have that support and that love that I had from the retreat, I bring that back with me to my community. Once I have that set up, I want to start working on everything. I want to do more science, more music, more yoga.
Sounds all exciting. It's like the new birth, the new starting over.
Yeah.
Okay. I wish you all the best. Since our time is coming to an end, what could you recommend about doing something like you've done? Let's end with that. Some word of advice from you on that.
I think reading is really important. I've talked a lot about writing throughout this episode, and it's writing is to help integrate the knowledge for yourself, but it can also communicate a lot. So it's important to see lots of different perspectives, different opinions about whatever it is you're interested in, and then you can create kind of a big picture view of what you're trying to understand.
Thank you for taking the opportunity to talk with me. It's an amazing trip.
Thank you for having this space, this project. It's really amazing to be a part of. And I'm really happy about where it's going. So thank you.
Thank you for listening in. And as always, I hope you enjoyed today's show. Please don't forget to subscribe and also to check out our Facebook page with the written stories. And any comments or observation that you'd like to send, you can please send us an email at lcapsitatraveltalks@gmail.com. I look forward to hearing from you. And hope to meet you someday here in the El Cafecito in Cuenca, Ecuador, and also in our sister location in Quito, Ecuador. To also give a shout out, as always, to our editor, Marshall. If you'd like to contact Peter for some more information, his email is in our podcast notes. So please take care, be safe, all the best.